The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. We've made it to the final hour. By the way, Major League Baseball announced earlier that the All-Star Game that was going to be in Atlanta will now be at Coors Field in Denver. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Charles is in Georgia, and you're on the air. Hello, Charles.
Hello. Good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
I wanted to share with you a story from a player at Georgia Tech. Back in he played for Georgia Tech when Tech was in the part of the SEC.
Right.
He played from 1928 to 31. That was one of the years that Tech won the Rose Bowl. But anyway, he would come down. I was a boy, and he would come down to my dad's and go hunting. And he would tell me stories about the football at that time. And he was telling how one time he I don't know what team they were playing, but he was tackled, and he fell on the football. And a bunch fell on top of him, and the ball burst. Now, he thought it was his lungs that had burst.
Oh, my goodness.
He was dying on the football field.
I can understand why.
That was back before they changed the football like they do now. That was just one of the stories he shared with me, and I thought that was interesting to share with us.
That is very interesting. Hey, thank you, Charles, for sharing that. That's an amazing. I mean, can you? That would be frightening to think that that your lungs were. That is not a good thing to happen, by the way. Not that I've ever had it happen. Hey, thank you very much. Let's talk to Keith, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a hypothetical of what will happen first, and I'm going to preface it by saying I truly believe both of these things will happen. But what will happen first? Sam Pittman and Arkansas will play in a New Year's Six bowl game, or Eli Drinkwitz and Missouri will win the SEC East.
Woo. I might be a little higher on Missouri winning the East.
I think that'll probably happen quicker, but as I said earlier, I truly believe both of those will happen.
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, you're talking about two incredibly impressive coaches and coaching staffs, and we talked to Eli and Coach Pittman, Eli Drinkwitz and Coach Pittman a lot of times. They both have fantastic staffs. In fact, we also talked a few weeks ago to Steve Wilks, who is the defensive coordinator at Missouri, and that was. I don't think there's been enough attention made to that hire. I mean, this is somebody who led the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl on the defensive side of the ball, who was a head coach in the NFL. So yeah, I think they're both entirely possible. I think the real question though for Missouri, if Eli Drinkwitz starts to win like would be required to get to the Atlanta game, they better figure out a way to keep him in Missouri.
Well, I know Roman's really, really high on Wilks, but I remember.
Yeah, well, Wilks coached Roman in the NFL.
Yeah, I remember when you announced the Sam Pittman and then I remember your first interview with Pittman, and then it just seemed like Pittman blew you away.
Yeah, I mean, I could not believe. I try to be honest about things, and I couldn't believe they hired the guy. I knew how good of a recruiter he was and how good a coach he was because he had gone into Alabama and taken some really critically important players, even away from Nick Saban, but. I just never envisioned him as a head coach, and how wrong I was about not giving him credit, because I think too often, and this goes for every industry in the world, you look right past people who are qualified who could do a great job, because CEOs and executives get all hung up on whatever the hottest thing is, and that we all know about that. Let's check in with Mitch, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
I was worried about you, Mitch. I haven't heard from you a couple of days. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm doing fine, and I'm not a complainer. This is the time of year that I get a little bit. Today's the anniversary of my amputation.
Oh my goodness. Well, I hope.
I'm fine. I just get quiet for a few days, and I've never really mourned it, and I never really will, I hope.
I admire you. I get upset about things when they're going great, and I think about you sometimes, about what you've been through versus my life, and I think we could all learn from the way you've handled adversity.
I haven't always handled it properly.
Well, since I've known you, you have.
Well, this show has truly given me a kinship. And I want to say hello to my brother, Augie, who I forgot to mention the other day. But now I have to bring up his team. The purpose of my call is to make you upset. Why has the SEC not got involved at all, at least make a statement saying that they don't approve of any of this stuff that's coming out about LSU?
I can't answer that question, but you're in the middle of an investigation here, and the president, the interim president at LSU has issued a lot of statements. Now, whether he ends up doing anything or not remains to be seen, but I think while you're in the middle of an ongoing investigation, I think you're probably better off letting the chips fall.
Well, and I understand that, but right now the SEC is getting some black eyes. And I would think that, you know, Commissioner Sankey would want to at least, you know, try to put a patch on some of those eyes. You know, Tennessee, the coach of Florida, now LSU's just completely blown up. So, but anyway, I'm doing well. Anytime I can watch Paul and see you smile and they're talking about riders and stuff, that does me well.
Well, Mitch, thank you, and I appreciate your candor about this day, but I want you in a better mood the next time you call.
I'll be in a better mood.
Okay, take care of yourself.
Talking to you puts me in that better mood.
Well, thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. Let's check in with I-Man, who is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, the question about Arkansas and Missouri, that's a great question. And I think Arkansas probably has their hands more full than Missouri. But your assessment about the Missouri coach is exactly dead on. If they get that kind of success, they better find a way to keep that coach.
I've heard there's some NFL interest in Eli Drinkwitz already.
Well, and I tell you what, they're both good hires. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the SEC West. Harsin is probably what we know the least about, but Auburn is a big boy school, so we are expecting something. But the SEC, you know, every time I turn around, they're hiring coaches, and the SEC West is always interesting. Paul, I was watching the basketball games, the Final Four over the weekend, and I was on that one network that the games was on. And they had this little concert thing going on.
Oh, I saw that, Miley.
And I've listened to your show, and I actually heard the concert girl's daddy on your program.
Yep.
And I'm going to be real honest, Paul. I thought that the guy kind of failed at a good attempt to have a great interview, but he stepped all over himself. Is that a fair assessment?
I would say, and you know me pretty well, I mean, the night we had Billy Ray Cyrus on, I would thought it was one of the most disastrous interviews we've ever had here.
It was kind of hit and miss, and it was a lot more miss than any hit.
Well,
it was probably
I take responsibility because I am doing the interview, but the two of us were not on this. We were not operating on the same planet.
No, no. I mean, you take them as they come, and you tried to dress him up the best way you could. You tried to help. You tried to help. You tried to help. Now I'm watching this thing on Saturday, and I'm thinking, what the hell is this about? Why are we doing this?
There's a reason.
She's well known for basketball.
No, I think I have an answer for you.
What's that?
Because I thought the same thing. I've been to that concert at the Final Four. They usually it's usually outside. It's a big deal. And the reason why I think the concert lasted so long is this year at the Final Four, the women and the men, there was a longer gap between the two games, and I think it had to do with COVID. Usually they play the game 30 or 40 minutes afterwards, but this time it was like an hour and 20 minutes, and I think they had to get everybody off, sanitize the court, sanitize everything, and that's why you got stuck with Miley Cyrus for 45 minutes.
And you know what? I had to sanitize my TV after that concert.
It was not good.
Now listen, and you know, when you have that kind of entertainment, you at least think you want to have somebody that may be on the popular side that's actually part of something, that draws something. But how many Miley Cyrus fans are actually sit there glued to the NCAA Final Four?
Not many.
You know, the Final Four, and that's what I thought. And it must be a CBS product for advertising.
Well, there is. There is a tie. I mean, I unfortunately knew the guy who did this, and I went with him to the concert a couple of years ago in New Orleans. And I think Coke is involved, and other. It is tied in with all the sponsors that front the Final Four. So there's a specific reason why that got so much airtime. Thanks for the call. I mean, we're up against the break. More of your phone calls right after we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and we continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7282. Five, and Pat is in Georgia, and you're on the air. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. Listen, the network stayed up till the end of the game, and I've been a good solid hour behind all day today.
I thought about you, Pat. You really could have turned it off after about 5 minutes and been good.
Well, I had decided what I was going to do last night, so that's what I did. What about the selection of Colorado? That's going to be great for the home run contest. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I really haven't given it much thought, but you're right. I've never been to that ballpark, but I have been to football games in Denver. It's a different experience.
Yes, sir, it is. I was listening to your conversation hour four yesterday. I believe it's Richard Scott. It might be Robert Scott.
Yeah, Richard. Richard's a former colleague of mine.
Were you breaking news last night? Are you and Miss Linda going to return to Birmingham soon?
Well, I didn't intend to break news.
Okay.
I have really, from the day I left there, Pat, I have always wanted to go back, and was so I don't know when that day will be, but it could be, you know, in this world, you never know.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. On one other point, if you'll permit me, the legislature in Georgia, I have a pretty good idea of what's in the bill. The intriguing thing to me is the legislation takes the election responsibility out of the hands of the Secretary of State, who is an elected official. And the election committee is established by the state legislature. They are all appointed. And the sovereignty, 159 counties in the state of Georgia, their election boards, they have final say on what happens in that county. That sovereignty has been taken away from them and has been given to the election board, which is appointed by the state legislature. I think that is the compelling change that the state of Georgia has made in its voting requirements. So, anyway, I just thought
well, thank
I'd
you.
Share that with you.
Pat, appreciate it very much, and thanks for the question. Let's check out, who we got here? Mike is up next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. I didn't mean to call back so quick. This is Tank. But, you know, Bill Lumpkin died this week, and I want to tell a quick Bill Lumpkin story if I could.
Oh, absolutely, Mike.
I'm not good about...
by the way, I thought of you today, because it's just... there aren't too many of us that go that far back.
Yeah. Well, I was a sports editor of the campus newspaper at Alabama the year Coach Bryant set the record, 315. And when I took over, one of the many sports writers that was, you know, trying to write for the paper, and we had high standards. It was Bill Lumpkin. I think it's Bill Lumpkin the third, not Bill Lumpkin Jr.
Yeah, no, you're right. He was the one that called yesterday, and I got his title wrong.
Well, yeah, I think he's got an older brother, Ben. But me and Bill the third became very good friends, even though he wrote about the Cincinnati Reds and the Cincinnati Bengals, Crimson White, way too often. But we became good friends, and I began going to, if you'll remember, I don't know that I saw you there many times, but Mr. and Mrs. Lumpkin, because they were very close to Legion Field, would host an annual Iron Bowl preview party, and everybody that was somebody in the
they lived in Ensley, which was a couple of blocks away from the I can assure you, Tank, I never missed one, but the difference was nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew who I was back then.
I did know who you were, but I didn't quite remember you being there as many.
I ever missed it. Here's the reason why I never missed it, and you can relate to this because we were both in the same business. It was a free meal
and drinks.
Well, I must confess, I did not drink before the game.
I was a student, and our paper didn't come out till Monday, so I was able to do that.
I took my job way too seriously back then.
Well, I did too, but I didn't have, you know, I didn't have an immediate deadline, which at the 315 game when he won the but that's not the reason I called. It was a 314 game up at Penn State.
Right, right.
Two parts of this story. I was sports editor at the Crimson White, like I told you, and I was if you remember, Alabama lost early that year. That made the Penn State game the potential 315 game.
Right.
Then they tied, I think, Southern Miss, and that made the Penn State game the potential 314 win, and Auburn the 315 game. But I had already made arrangements to go up to the Penn State game when they tied, and that's how this came about. I hope my mother's not listening. I was a student at Alabama. I was in my first year of graduate school, and I had asked Coach Bryant's office to see if they would let the sports editor of the campus newspaper fly up with the team to the Penn State game. Well, the idea for that came from Bill Lumpkin. Because of my relationship with his son Bill at Alabama, I got to know Bill Lumpkin Sr. and talked to him a lot and you know, hung around him and all I could, you know. And I worked for Philip Marshall, too, at that time. No, I didn't. I worked for Philip Marshall later. But, I was always fascinated by the John Pruitts and the Philip Marshalls and the Mitchell. I forget what Mitchell's last name was. He was at Decatur at the time.
Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell, correct. So, anyway, I had called his office, asked for a ride up to the Penn State game. We couldn't afford it as a student newspaper. But Bill Lumpkin, the one who is now deceased, told me, you ought to ask Coach Bryant. He'll let you go up there on the team plane. I never thought of that. So I asked. One Friday morning, after a long night out on Thursday night in Tuscaloosa, I get a call. The phone rang and rang and rang. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't know who it was. And the lady answered. The lady that called said, is this Mr. Tankersley? Is this Mike Tankersley? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, please hold for Coach Bryant.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I about buckled, you know, because it's true. You know, I had met him the summer before and sat on that famous couch in front of him.
Sure.
And sunk down like everybody else did and did a, you know, did a preseason preview story and all that, knowing that the next year was going to be the next season, that after that summer, was going to be the year, the season when he broke the Amos Alonzo Staggs record. Well, he came on and he told me after about 10 seconds where I was just complete, utter astonishment that I was about to get a call from Coach Bryant. I mean, people have got to realize what it was, how big he was, especially to somebody like me who was still in college and hadn't met anybody of note yet, you know. And he called me and he said, looks like we're going to have a place on our plane. So I go up to the Penn State game later that season. And, of course, I hung around with the older sports writers, among them Marty Mulet. You probably remember him.
Oh, no, I remember Marty.
Yeah. And Bill Lumpkin, among others. Who was the Tuscaloosa News Sports Editor? Al Browning.
Al Browning, sure.
Well, he's deceased now, so I'm not. There's nothing anybody can do now. But Al Browning brought me a bottle of George Dickel at the state store, and anyway, we're at the motel on Thursday, and then the next night, everybody from Pennsylvania converged on our hotel, or motel, actually. And, it went from nobody in the motel to everybody in the motel in one night. Penn State fans are the greatest. Let me say that. Well, anyway, I'm sitting in the motel room the first night, and we run out of ice, and the ice machines run out of ice. Of course, they send the kid, meaning me, down to the bar to get some ice. So I did. But earlier in the evening, all the sports writers from Alabama were to have a meeting with Joe Paterno. And I was tagging along with Bill Lumpkin because he's the one I knew best. And then we go down to the door and it's shut and we're not allowed in for 30 minutes. And Bill Lumpkin said, more graphically than this, the heck with that. He said, he's coming to Alabama next year, you know, we'll get him back, so to speak. And we went to the restaurant and the restaurant in the motel and had a meal. And that's why I didn't.
That's amazing.
Didn't get a chance to be in a room with Joe Paterno.
Well, that's
but
Bill.
I wasn't going to leave the veteran Bill Lumpkin.
No, Mike. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break here, but I appreciate you calling Mike Tankersley, a legendary sports writer of his own repute. We will take a break. We still have 30 minutes to go, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back. Final 25 minutes on a late Tuesday afternoon. Let's check in with Jim, who is in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Your comment about Shorty White brought back a memory for me. My father was the physician for Woodlawn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was. And he was with them for, gosh, I guess 25 years. But anyway, he had his office in Woodlawn. And so anyway, he was involved with them for many years.
Do you remember being at that game, Jim?
Yes, vaguely. It was quite a great game. I remember being there and with those 48,000 people, as you mentioned.
I mean, it's just, you know, I know I've seen crowds like that in Texas before, but the idea that 48,000 people would go to Legion Field for a high school football game is pretty remarkable.
It is indeed. It's hard to believe. I mean, you know, in the old days when they had the Crippled Children's Clinic game,
right,
they often had crowds nearly that size, not fully, but nearly that size. But it was interesting.
I remember when I was young in Memphis, there was a city championship game one night that was a sellout at an 11,200 seat Coliseum, and I thought that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. That, of course, you had two star players that would later go on and be phenomenal. But I have not. I mean, outside of a few exceptions, that remains an anomaly. And what, you know, I remember the second I got to town, which would have been 5 or 6 years after that game, 6 years after that game. That's, I mean, people were still talking about it.
Oh, yeah, it was very special. I mean, you know, of course, Tony Nathan ended up playing at Alabama.
And, oh, fantastic player.
Yeah, he was a great player. So, I enjoy your show.
Well, Jim, thank you for calling. I appreciate you sharing the story about your dad. That must have been quite an interesting. I guess you didn't see much of him on Friday night in the fall.
Well, no, but he used to let me sit on the sideline.
Oh, did he? Okay.
So.
Well, that had to be fun.
So I got to do that.
Well, that's fantastic, Jim. Thank you for sharing that. And I mean, I've covered college football at a reasonably high level for my career, but I will tell you, there's still something incredibly special about those memories of those Friday night games. Thanks for calling. More of your phone calls right now, and Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, thanks. Good afternoon. Hey, Mike.
Hello?
Good afternoon. Yeah, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Paul.
Yes, good afternoon to you. What's going on?
Oh, man, we're from South Carolina.
Well, that is fantastic.
Yes, sir. Gamecocks. Go Gamecocks.
What do you think? You think Shane Beamer can do it?
Hey, I tell you what. I give him a little time. Everybody's got to give a little time.
I heard that from Muschamp, though.
Well, you know, that's always been in South Carolina, though.
Yeah, South Carolina is definitely number one in the we'll be okay. We'll be better next year.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? You got to give it a chance, though.
Well, no, I will tell you. I think we had Coach on the other day, and man, he is going to. He once he gets out on the circuit, he's going to light the Gamecock clubs up. I mean, he is really inspirational.
Well, we're all pumped up down here, and we, you know, like Dawn Staley, she's done a fantastic job, and Frank Martin's done a good job, and I hope they keep Frank Martin.
Well, they are. Mike, I think they are going to keep him.
He's a good man.
He's a great man. I think they are going. They're definitely going to keep him, and you're right about Dawn. Tommy is in Memphis. Tommy, what's up with you? How are you?
Hey, Paul. I'm not going to ask how you are. Everybody else asked that, so I know you're fine.
I am. Thank you.
I'm an ex-baseball coach, coached American Legion in high school baseball. I was involved with American Legion baseball in Millington, Tennessee for Babe Howard that owned Millington Telephone Company.
Sure.
We built USA Baseball Field. It became the training site for the Olympic team in 1985. And
right.
I got to meet a whole bunch of great coaches, Ron Frazier, Skip Bergman, Ron Polk, Mike Martin, Mike Marquis. I mean, Mark Marquis, I got my tongue tied up there. Gene McCarter, just had a great. If you ever want to get really the true lowdown on how bad the NCAA is, have an interview with Ron Pope.
You know, I haven't seen Ron in a long time. We've talked to him in the past, but I don't think we've talked to him since we came here. But you're right. I vaguely remember some of his comments. By the way, when I was growing up, there was there was an American Legion team that I think that won it all one year. I mean, Memphis had.
Oh, they won it. Sir, named Tony Gagliano.
That's it. It's amazing the things you remember from your early days. But I remember American Legion was huge in Memphis.
Oh, it was. We played them for the championship. I actually pitched against Tony the year they won it. We beat them 1-0 in the district championship. And they got to go on to the West Tennessee because they were the champions from the year before. But I pitched against his group, and that included a guy named Donnie Castle, which I'm sure you don't know who that is, but that's okay. You brought up some names back then from, like, Mike Fleming, and I know George Lapidus.
Sure.
And all those guys, and at least listen to George's show. I had a piece of trivia for you.
Okay.
Do you remember a major league player by the name of Dick Groat?
I sure do. He played for the Cardinals, didn't he? Or the Phillies. I can't remember which one. But he
played for the Cardinals.
Okay.
The Cardinals traded for him. He was the MVP of the National League.
Right.
At Pittsburgh, and the Cardinals traded for him. That was
okay.
The year the Cardinals
That's it. Okay. I definitely remember Dick. He was fantastic.
Well, here's a little piece of trivia. Maybe you'll pull harder for this guy this weekend. Jordan Spieth is his grandson.
I had no idea. That is amazing. No, I was a, you know, everyone in Memphis was a Cardinals fan, but I never realized that. That is amazing.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Well, I'm a huge Jordan Spieth fan, so it won't be hard for me to pull for him.
Yeah, and that was the year that the Cardinals had Kenny Boyer at third, Dick Groat at short, Julian Javier at
right.
second, and Bill White at first, and they were the starting infield on the All-Star team.
Now, was that 64 or 67?
I think it was 64.
Yeah, that was a year. I'll never forget this. They won the pennant on the final day, and the only reason I remember that is my parents got me the record. The Cardinals won the pennant. I mean, I played that thing 1,000 times.
I got to be good friends with us. With a scout back then that was around back then. His name was Skinny Walker when I was coaching American Legion Baseball. And my wife would actually, as Skinny got older and couldn't hardly drive, my wife would go pick him up and bring him to American Legion games. And he had promised me that he was going to give me his 1964
oh, wow.
World Championship Scout ring. Now, then he died, and I just didn't ever had the.
I remember. That's the series. My mom let me stay home from school. She was a great mom to let me stay home from school to watch the opening game. It was an afternoon game. I remember one night Tim McCarver had a picture signing at a local store, and we stayed online. We waited online for 2 hours so I could get an autograph.
My stepfather coached Tim McCarver.
Did he really?
Summers before.
How interesting.
And his wife, Ann McDaniel, her parents live right up the road from me.
Well, do me a favor, John.
When we would go to St. Louis,
Tommy
would take us in the clubhouse. I got
that
to
is
the clubhouse
fantastic.
When,
please call back again. I would love to continue this conversation. What a great trip down memory lane for at least one of us here. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.